Jeremiah's prophecy, and it's chapter 29 that I'd like to read from. Jeremiah 29 and verse 8. For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets that are in your midst, nor your diviners deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye like to dream. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith Jehovah. For thus saith Jehovah, when 70 years shall be accomplished for Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in bringing you back to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith Jehovah, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you in your latter end a hope. And ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, for ye shall search for me with all your heart. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he that does the will of my Father who is in the heavens. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied through thy name, and through thy name cast out demons, and through thy name done many works of power? And then will I avow unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Whoever therefore hears these my words and does them, I will liken him to a prudent man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain came down, and the streams came, and the winds blew, and fell upon that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these my words and does not do them, he should be likened to a foolish man, built his house upon the sand, and the rain came down, and the streams came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and its fall was great. One last scripture in Timothy's second epistle. 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 19. Yet the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord withdraw from iniquity. I hope everyone in this room has sung that hymn at the start from their heart. I know it's a hymn that we all know well, and we've probably sung it many times. But when you sing it, are you singing it from a personal knowledge of your Saviour? I look around the hall tonight, and of course I know everyone here. And I'm pretty sure that everyone has that personal link with a Saviour. But I don't know. God knows. And you know. Maybe you've sung that hymn, those two verses, many times because you enjoy singing along with everybody else. Maybe you've known it because you've been brought up to know it, and you can very nearly recite it without a hymn book. Friend, I don't know, and that's why I'm preaching the gospel tonight. Because I want to make sure that everyone in this room has that blessed assurance. I want to make sure that everyone in this room can say, Jesus is mine. And I've read from these scriptures this evening. Because I want to make sure that everyone has known what it is to have their anchor firm and sure in the Saviour's love. As most of you know, I found my Saviour many years ago. It wasn't that I was brought up in any environment that was hostile to him. Many a time I'd heard his name, but it needed the time when he became precious to me, where I found him as my own personal Saviour. And tonight I want to make sure that you do the same. These scriptures speak of what is sure. In this first scripture, we've got a sure hope. In the second scripture, we've got a sure foundation. And in the last scripture, we've got a firm foundation based upon the precious, precious name. Friend, I wonder if you're established and fully assured in relation to the blessed salvation that is on offer to you tonight. The message that came to these people in the days of Jeremiah probably came at a time when they needed it most. They've been through a horrendous time, the people of God. They've been taken captive. And they've been taken miles and miles, hundreds of miles away into captivity. And they've pretty well given up hope. And God says to them, don't look to those who are in your midst, the diviners, nor, he says, hearken to your dreams. And you know, that came home to me. You might think it's strange, but it came home to me, the things that we set our minds upon and set our hearts upon, the things we dream that they might happen. But God is saying, what you must do is seek me. You must seek me out. And friend, that's what we must do. You know, we're all aware of the conditions in the world today, aren't we? We all know the promises that are made and the things that the politicians say they'll do. And we know that very few of them will happen. We know that the promises are just there for political purposes. But you know, every promise that God makes, he's going to fulfill. Every promise that he makes to you, it'll be true. It won't be dreams. It won't be things you just imagine might happen one day and you hope they will. No, God's will be fulfilled. And tonight, he's appealing to you because you can come into the certainty and to the assurance of what God has in mind for you. And however difficult the circumstances may seem to be, friend, the way is open to you tonight. Mercy's door is open wide to you. And I want you to know this. Even though you may have come to this hall and heard the gospel preached many, many times, I want to tell you this, that a time is coming when you're going to have to do with God and give an account of yourself to him. It's a solemn thing, you know, that he speaks here of his desire to give you in your latter end a hope. Oh, friend, I can't tell you what that means to me. To have a hope of being eternally with Christ, of having a hope that I will answer to his call when he comes for those that love him, that in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, when the archangel's voice and trump of God comes, I have a sure and certain hope that I will answer to it. Not because of anything in me, but because of what he's done. I'll have a sure and certain hope. You know, when the Lord Jesus was here, he said to his disciples, I'm coming again and will receive you to myself. Friend, do you have that hope in your heart? Are you sure? Are you certain that you're saved? That you're trusting in Christ? And that your hope is like an anchor that's sure and firm? The scripture in Hebrews, if I can find it, that I was looking at earlier on. And it says, those who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope which we have set before us. The hope of being eternally with Christ, which we have as anchor for the soul, both secure and firm. Dear friend, is your anchor firm in the Saviour's love? Have you got a personal link with him? Are you established in the truth of the glad tidings such that it causes your heart to glow? Hearts were burning within us, the disciples of Jesus said after he was raised. Tonight, I present to you a way of salvation so that you can have this sure and certain hope. And how is it? Well, first of all, it has its origin in God's heart of love. I love these words. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says Jehovah. Thoughts of peace and not evil to give you in your latter end a hope. God's heart of love is towards the sinner tonight. He's towards you. In a sense, it matters not that you may have sat in this room time and time again and heard the message of salvation proclaimed to you, and you haven't answered to it. Do you know the message of the gospel needs a response? It needs a response from you, not just an assent, but it needs a response. And God knows just where you are. He knows if you can put a good face on things, as they say. He knows if you can pass company with those that love him. He knows all that. He knows just where you are. In your soul tonight, a God who in mercy is looking upon you has the means whereby you can be saved. If only you'll come in true repentance and faith to the Saviour and own that you're a sinner and need him. And these words here in Jeremiah have often affected my heart. Ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. And now the promise, I will hearken to you. What have you known of getting into the presence of God in regard to your sins? And hearing what he would say to you. Hearing the word of his grace as he loves to greet the sinner. Hearing his words as he would say in the language of Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Have you known what it is to get onto your knees and speak to the Savior about your sins? Ask him to wash those sins away and know that he's able to do it. You think of this scripture written about 700 years before Jesus came. The inspired word of God. And here it is, the gospel message, flowing out all those years ago. And has it changed? No, it hasn't changed. The heart of God hasn't changed. The love of God towards the sinner. And he says here, ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me. What a lovely promise. Have you found the Saviour? Have you found him, the one who tonight has the means to give you peace with God? To wash those sins away through his precious blood? Have you found him? Friend, there's a little proviso here. And this is what it is. For ye shall search as it will seek. Ye shall search for me with all your heart. He's looking for that, you know, the sinner's at times. You prepared for that with all your heart? Or you say, I'd like to just fit him in with the things that I'm doing. I'd like him just to have a little place. I'd like to be a Christian, but there's other things too. He wants you to search with all your heart. And you know, if you do, these promises of Scripture will come true for you. He'll be to you the one who can give you hope and give you peace and give you joy. And tonight, he's waiting for you. Oh friend, why am I preaching like this to souls that I'm pretty sure have their sins forgiven? I preach because I know what it is from my soul experience to get cold in my links with Christ. And in his love, he still says come. In his love, he's looking for the sinner to return. And if there's anyone tonight who's got cold in their heart's affections for the Saviour, let me tell you this, that his love for you is still the same.
Still he appeals. Still he wants you to come. And friend, you know where you are, and he knows where you are. And tonight, there's an opportunity for you to have a personal transaction with the Saviour. Search for him with all your heart, and you'll find him. I trust that everyone might have the certainty of this wonderful hope of which Jeremiah speaks. Now we come to Matthew's Gospel. And I read the little section beforehand, because the Lord is speaking here about those who pretend to know him. Well, we can be like that too, can't we? Think of those who say to me, Lord, Lord, well, you said that. That most of us have. Perhaps we thought we were doing the things that the Lord wanted us to do. What a solemn scripture it is, yeah. The pretense of just going along with things. The pretense of perhaps just coming to meetings because we think it's the thing to do. Perhaps it's what other people expect. Perhaps it's what we've always done, so we continue to do it. And we said, Lord, Lord. My friend, the gospel goes beyond it. The gospel says, you must have to do with me. You must build upon a rock and have an anchor for your soul. I think a scripture like this, you know, brings before us very clearly the fact that a day is quickly coming when we're going to have to do with God. We continue, you know, day after day, but a time is coming when mercy's door is going to close. It's a solemn truth, you know. And perhaps because we've known it from when we were young, all of us, most of us, the truth and reality of it doesn't dawn upon us. To think that this gospel hall will be emptied, that the gospel won't be preached anymore, and the awfulness of realizing that we never accepted God's offer of salvation for ourselves. We heard it, but we never received it into our hearts. We never searched with all our heart. Tonight, dear friend, I can't guarantee how many more gospel preachings will be preached from this day. I don't know how many gospel preachings you will hear, but what I know is this, that it's no good pretending anymore. The time has come for us to have to do with a Saviour God and to accept his terms of salvation for ourselves. So what are we building upon? Are we building upon our ideals? Many build upon their good works. Many build upon their charitable activities. But the only foundation that is going to stand firm and sure is the precious work of Christ at Calvary. Many of us were considering that beautiful scripture this afternoon in John 19. I would say, come to the cross and see your Saviour there for you, giving his precious life, shedding his precious blood, so that your sins might be washed away, and at such tremendous cost. But he's established a righteous basis by which God can come out in full and free forgiveness. But he asks for your acceptance. You must lay hold of it yourself. You must build upon the rock. Oh, the rock is Christ. The rock is firm and sure. The rock represents a love that never changes. The rock represents a firm foundation of God's righteous principles. For every one of them has been met through the precious work of Christ, so that God can come out freely to forgive the sinner today. The wonder of it, you know, what God has done. How can we be indifferent to his entreaties? How can we just continue in our own way when God is offering such wonderful salvation for us? He's saying to us, only you'll build upon the rock, you'll have something which will withstand the evil one, something that will endure. We tend to build upon the sand far too much, you know, or I do. We build upon things which are changing every day. Sometimes I think God allows us to realize the foolishness of that when things go wrong. And then we realize there was an anchor for our soul there all the time. A rock that never moves. And come what may in this life, yet it will hold firm. And every one of us can know the certainty of our lives being built upon the rock, which is Christ himself. Oh, what blessing there is, you know, in coming to Christ. I do hope you will tonight, if you haven't before. I do hope you'll realize how precious this person is. He's completed the work that God gave him to do. Those words we were reminded of today, it is finished. Yeah. The work has been finished. There's nothing you need add to it. But you do have to come to him. You do have to own that you're a sinner. You do have to come in repentance and just trust in him. And as you do, there's wonderful peace and joy for your heart. And it's open to every one of us today. Well, 2 Timothy 2 may seem to be a rather strange scripture to bring into the gospel, but you know, there's two reasons why I don't. There's a firm foundation of God, and it's fast. There it is, in Scripture. There's no negotiation. There's no adaptation to modern times. A firm foundation stands. There it is. And it has this seal, that the Lord knows those that are his. Do you know, that's a wonderful comfort to me. To think that he knows everyone in this room, just one by one. You could go along each row, every individual that's there. The Lord knows everyone that belongs to him. When that archangel's voice comes, and it could even be tonight, he knows who has trusted him and who will be certain to be with him. He knows that. You know if you're not being honest. But friend, I tell you this in all seriousness, that no matter how far away you may be or how uncertain you may be, tonight you can just own him as your Saviour and have that blessed assurance that the hymn writer wrote of it. You can know what it is to belong to him. And because he has promised that when he comes, he will take all who love him to be with himself eternally to his heavenly home, you can know that you'll be there amongst them. And perhaps you look back on your life and you see some of the awful things you thought and said and did. Friend, I want to tell you this, that the precious blood of Jesus has removed those completely from before the sight of God. And God has made another promise to you. He says, I'll never remember them anymore. Yes, the Lord knows those that are his. Make sure you're among those that he knows. Because you can tonight, just in simple repentance, coming to him and trusting him as your Savior. It's so simple, isn't it? I think that's why some can't believe that God, the one so great, the one who fills eternity, should come down to a sinner like me and say, just trust. And some can't take it in. It's amazing. As that hymn says, it's amazing grace. The fact is that that amazing grace is being offered to you right now. And then there's the other part of this verse. Everyone who names the name of the Lord. This is different. This is not those who say, Lord, Lord. No. This is someone to whom that name is precious. This is someone who knows the value of the name of Jesus. Oh friend, what does it mean to you? You think of Peter and John as they went up to the temple in Acts 3. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. Oh, the power of the name. The power of the name is available to you tonight. Tells us too, doesn't it, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's a place of safety. You can come tonight and know what it is to have eternal safety and security through the precious name of Jesus. Isaiah tells us that his name is wonderful amongst others. Why is it wonderful to you? I preach the gospel like this because I don't know where everyone is in their soul history with God. But one thing I know from my own experience is that there's always room to be drawn nearer to the Saviour. There's always room in our hearts and in our lives to make more room for Him. Oh dear friend, will you do so tonight? Will you resolve that Christ should have the first place in all things because He's worthy of it? Think of what He's done for you in the giving of His precious life at the cross. Tonight He's looking for a response from your heart. Well, however young, however old, what sort of response are you going to give Him? Are you going to trust Him and have that blessed assurance that we sung about at the beginning? I do hope everyone will. May God bless them all.